Fellow faculty members and students of the Brigham Young University, I deem it an honor today to be given the privilege of introducing our devotional speaker to you. There are three classes of people we meet in life: those whom we forget, those whom we wish we could forget, and those whom we never forget. Brother Oscar A. Kirkham, in my catalog of friends, is in this latter classification. My first recollections of him go back to Memorial Day 1917 in Emigration Canyon. It was on that particular morning, as a boy, on the trail, in the mountains, that he, with his magic touch of youth, touched my life with the same touch that he has touched the lives of hundreds of thousands of other boys in the world. Brother Kirkham, I hope you won't think my introduction of you too intimate or personal when I tell this wonderful student body about your life as I know it. We do want them to know you more intimately, because in knowing you, they can find a pattern for successful living. According to the record, Brother Kirkham, you were born in Lehigh, Utah, and there you received your early formal training. And for your university training, you came to and graduated from our own Brigham Young University. Since then, you have served twice as the president of the Alumni Association of this great university. And in 1900, your desire for greater learning in your then chosen field took you to Germany to study music. In 1904, you returned to America and taught music for 2 years at Ricks College in Rexburg, Idaho. Again, your desire for greater knowledge took you to Columbia University, New York City, for additional study in music. And in 1908, you returned to Salt Lake City to become the head of the music department in the LDS University. For our younger friends, the Latter-day Saint University was a combination of the Latter-day Saint Business College and a four-year high school's course of study. The university occupied the buildings across the street from the temple, the Young Memorial Building, Barrett Hall, the present LDS Business College, the Joseph Smith Building, the old tithing office, which many of you have never seen, the Desert Gymnasium, and the Lion House. You continued as head of the music department at the LDS University until 1913. And in May 1913, a rather significant thing happened in the history of the church, and you were destined to be one of the pioneers in that program for the church. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints became the first church in America to adopt the program of the Boy Scouts of America, one of its programs for youth. You were called to the General Board of the Young Men's Mutual Improvement Association to give active direction to what was then known as the Mutual Improvement Association Scouts of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. You served in the capacity of field secretary and a member of the Boy Scout Committee until 1919, when Salt Lake City and the adjoining area officially became a Boy Scout Council. At that time, the Young Men's Mutual Improvement Association Scouts were dissolved as such, and our church groups came under the direction of Boy Scout Councils all over America. You became the Scout Executive of the Salt Lake Council Boy Scouts of America, which position you held until 1925. At that time, because of the wonderful record in bringing scouting to boys in the Salt Lake area, and because of your being the type of person you are, you were selected by the National Council of the Boy Scouts of America to become a Deputy Regional Scout Executive, serving with the staff of what is known as Region 12, comprising the states of Utah, Nevada, California, Arizona, and the Hawaiian Islands. In this year, you were selected as the Executive Secretary of the Young Men's Mutual Improvement Association, in which position you served along with your Deputy Regional Scout Executive job until the time of your call to the First Council of the Seven Presidents of 70, October the 5th, 1941. While your official capacity of the Boy Scouts of America was supposed to be a part-time responsibility, you, in your usual way, gave of yourself and your time far beyond that which was normally expected of you. And the same might be said of your service to the church in your mutual improvement position, association position. You served under four general superintendents of the Mutual Improvement Association: Brother Anthony W. Ivins, Brother George Albert Smith, Brother Albert E. Bowen, and Brother George Q. Morris. While your official position with the Mutual Improvement Association terminated in October 1941, as I recall, you continued on in the service of scouting for a few years beyond that date. Brother Kirkham, yours has been a colorful life. You have walked life's highway with men and boys from all nations of the world. In 1920, in the first World Scout Jamboree, you served as the chief morale officer. This jamboree was held at Birkenhead, England. The founder of the Boy Scout movement, Sir Robert Baden Powell, was a personal friend and admirer of yours. And in 1929, in Arrow Park, England, and in 1933, in Godolo, Hungary, and in 1937 in Haarlem, Holland, you also served as the chief morale officer. In this capacity, as I have already indicated, you associated with the world's leaders of youth. There have been other jamborees held since that time. In 1947, you were chief morale officer for the American contingent in France. And again in 1951, you served in the same capacity at Salzburg, Austria. And you have attended all of the national jamborees of the Boy Scouts of America at Valley Forge, at Irvine Ranch, and at Irvine Ranch, and at Washington, D.C. in 1937. In all of these experiences, you have truly represented the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. None of them have spoken of you as Oscar Kirkham, but Oscar Kirkham, the Mormon from Utah. Because of your forthright manner and your very capable leadership, you have received many recognitions and awards, among them the coveted Silver Beaver Award for service to youth in a local council capacity. You have also received from the Boy Scouts of America the coveted Silver Antelope Award for service to youth in a regional capacity. Brother Kirkham, it is not within our premise to make high awards of this kind, but today we would like to give you a certificate in citation for service to the Brigham Young University and the youth of our church. This citation is given in recognition of Brother Oscar A. Kirkham for his lifetime of untiring, unselfish service to the youth of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, to the Boy Scouts of America, and to boys of all nations of the world. The Brigham Young University faculty and student body deem it a pleasure and a privilege to recognize you this day with this certificate, signed by President Wilkinson and President Wittinge. Brother Kirkham, congratulations, and will you now tell us what's on your heart?
President, members of the faculty, ladies and gentlemen, scouters and cubs, their leaders. My, this is glorious. I feel like somebody gave me $100. Have you ever had that feeling? Brother Holliday, Brother Keeler, the chorus, my, you sing well. The Lord bless you. I want to come back again. I want to sit somewhere and listen to you again. It's lovely. You have scoring teams, but they scored well today. Thank God for this glorious institution. Forty-nine years ago, Lord Baden Powell took a group of boys down on Brown Sea Island He had something in his heart he wanted to do. An unknown. And isn't that lovely that he's unknown? An unknown boy did a glorious good turn down on Brown Sea Island for someone in need. And it so deeply impressed this glorious leader that he gave to the world, and I must speak in those terms with honor, he gave to the world the daily good turn. Has it touched your life? Have you opened the door yet to it? A bit of spirituality, but said in a lovely way, an impressive way. Well, millions have heard it. Today, this day, there are 4,100,000 Boy Scouts of America. We come highly honored to greet you, to be with you as one humble servant. Thing you've done at the Brigham Young University and here in this community life and throughout our country, I take the liberty of thanking you. There are thousands of boys that could speak to you from their hearts, but that wouldn't be just right. Got to be a good turn. It's got to be help for someone. It's got to be appreciation. I know that there are many, many here who've gone this trail, and I'm grateful for it. Keep at it. Let yours and yours and they of tomorrow give them this gift. There's 5% good in every boy. Wouldn't you say that? But the sport of life, said Lord Baden-Powell. Why I love that to be said in connection with it. The sport of life is to take that 5% and make it 80. Or 90, or 100. Are you playing that game? There's the sport of life. That 5% good, that's in every fellow. The other day, 5 Eagle Scouts came to New York from Crystal, Texas. You have probably heard them, maybe some of you saw them, on the Strike It Rich program. In our unguarded moments, we listen to these things. The Scoutmaster, 25 years old, a fine young fellow, giving himself to the troop. But he had it. The minute he got up before the radio, he said, "It's not I. It's the postmaster at Crystal, Texas, that led these fellows. And there are 50 more of them at home. They're watching us. Ah, it's a great game to play." It truly is the sport. Well, I gave him $500. He won it. These boys did. And the quiz. You know, Crystal, Texas is no little town. It's larger than Lehi. They raise more spinach in Crystal than any other place in the world. Believe it or not. Popeye is always with them. Where are you from? Where are you going? Well, here's a game. These Cubs, these Scouts, they believe in badges. They believe in uniform. They believe in the Scout oath and law, high notes, as well as games. On my honor, I'll do my best to do to my duty to God and country. There it is. I challenge your smiles to admiration. And then we have that great, glorious group of men and women in coming that play this game. We make awards to them. We give recognitions. We believe in it. Where's mine? Oh, it's here. Yes, thank you. That's all I can say. But out of my heart I say, and may God help you to receive it, I thank you. There's the silver beaver, the silver antelope, the silver buffalo. President McKay honored us the other night. 3,000 of us came to thank him and what he represented. Oh, we have jamborees. We have good times. You know, Aristotle said, I've got a quote from him, I like it. No man goeth about a more godly business than he who is concerned with the right upbringing of his own and other people's children. And here's another from an Eastern College president. The world and civilization will take the course which youth finally chooses. May I say so much depends on you. For God has lighted a new fire in your hearts. Keep it sacred. Let it grow. Let it be a reality. Character, do the good turn daily, love of the open. My, I treasure in my memory is 1,000 campfires. I remember in Switzerland, I went down the street one day. I knew a little lad that with a bent body that used to watch us as we marched by and hiked along, singing. I went into the little jewelry shop and I said to the Swiss father, may I take Luke to the Matterhorn? Oh, I'm sorry, he cannot go, he cannot walk. I'll take him. We'll go to the top of the cog train. Then I'll put him on my back. I'll bring him back home, all right. We went. When he arrived, snow lying away up on the Matterhorn, I spread out a blanket and I said, "Stay here, Luke. I'll be back in a moment." Farther up, as was my privilege, I saluted the morn. It's a glorious thing to salute the morn. Do you love to hike? Do you love to go to the mountaintop? Few words were spoken, but I heard from the blanket a boy's voice that I have never forgotten. He said, "Oh, beautiful, beautiful mountains. I love a fire. I take the closing moments to give you what I wrote down as rules for building a fire. Here they are. First, get down on your knees near the wood. Be close to nature. If God is with you, you cannot fail. Do well your part. And the second rule, start with a little spark. Be patient. It will grow. Blow gently. Give encouragement in a slowly, safe, kindly way. Add fuel only as needed. Do not smother the fire. It will need care. Let its warmth be yours to enjoy. Feel the glow of the fire." You know, Confucius said something wonderful. I leave it with you. "He that chops his own wood gets warm twice." God bless you, and the smile, and the good hand, and the happy home that greets you. If there's a boy somewhere, give him the best you have. On your honor, give him your best. To God and country, I humbly pray. May this be one of the victories of they who attend the Brigham Young University, is my prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.